So you need a budget. You're finding out that you're spending way too much money on things that you don't necessarily need. Like maybe you're spending $1,000 a month on Amazon. You're saying, wow, why am I spending $1,000 on Amazon? That's not good. So we wanted to talk about budgeting tools that we find is very helpful for our clients and budgeting techniques that we actually see works.
Mm-hmm.
So let's kick it off with the first one. This was our first favorite budgeting
First one tool. Is the OG of budgeting, manual tracking. This could be handwriting down. This could be Excel spreadsheets. But this is a good way to bring accountability to what we're spending. Yeah. Generally, somebody is looking back to start and just tracking expenses. What did I spend on each category? And then they might plan forward. Okay, how does this line up to where I want to spend my money? But you are actually writing something down manually.
This is what my wife does.
Okay.
I mean, I've brought her all the cool gadgets and tools, and she is a manual tracker. So we have a budget spreadsheet, just an Excel spreadsheet on our home computer, and she will literally type in every single transaction.
Everyone.
Well, she'll do it by category.
Okay.
So every category she'll type in, like, what do we spend on utilities? What do we spend on going out to dinner this month or whatever?
Okay.
And she loves it. It works for her. And I guess that's really the point of budgeting. If it works and it helps drive better behavior and better spending habits, then it's doing its job.
Yeah. And do you do that? Or is
Okay. I mean, I'm a financial advisor, but my wife, she tracks our budgeting.
Fair enough. I'm the same.
It works.
I think manual tracking works really well. I think it's a great exercise for anybody as they're starting to think about their personal finances to maybe do it for a couple of months. But the downside I have personally seen with manually tracking is it can cause stress.
Oh, yeah.
And it can make us feel bad. It's like a diet where we're tracking what we eat. And when we mess up that day, we just feel bad. If there's one thing we're all good at doing, it's avoiding things that make us feel bad. Nobody wants to feel bad about their money, about what they're eating or anything. Yeah. So it can feel a little restrictive to some people.
But maybe you need some of that.
But for certain personalities, absolutely.
You want a reality check? I mean, if you really are spending 120% of your income, you need that reality check. So
100% it can be great.
At the same time, you don't want to beat yourself down so bad to where you're...
Yep.
You're not even incentivized to do this anymore.
Yep, absolutely. So that's a great way, right? Manually tracking, write it down in our Excel spreadsheet. Yeah. A second way is a hybrid of that. This is using a budgeting app, right? And there's a few popular ones. There's Mint, there's Tiller, YNAB,
Fudget. You need a budget. Yeah, YNAB.
There's a bunch of options. And this is essentially a hybrid, right? So you'll aggregate, you'll link some account, some credit card, checking accounts, and it's going to pull in that data and present it to you, right? In a visual format on an app or a website.
Yeah, this is a really popular method. You know, this is what I've been trying to get my wife to adopt, whether it's you need a budget or Mint.
So move from the old school tracking
app. No, so it's an uphill battle. But you know, it's a very effective way. So if you don't want to go through and categorize things yourself, or if you don't want to manually type it in, or if you're just more curious, like how much am I actually spending on yearly vacations, or how much am I spending on Amazon, then this is a very effective way. I mean, these tools are really cool. And they're getting really sophisticated.
It's impressive. Yeah, I've used Mint. They've got a free version. Some of the other ones do cost money. Mint's got that free version. So you do get some ads when you're scrolling through your finances, right? And seeing your spending.
Yeah.
But it does a good job. I looked at it the other day and it's already categorizing and showing me. Basically, you can set alerts and get emails where you are in certain sections. So it can say, hey, fast food, you've already spent X percent of your normal average. And I was looking at that the other day going, oh, okay, how does this month track to other months? So it's pretty good. You don't need to do anything, but you will still need to go in and look at those apps to see, hey, are they categorizing this correctly? And it's like any tool, you're going to get out what you put into it. So if you do put some time into Mint or YNAB or these, they can really do a good job of showing you where your money's going.
I'm a really big fan of YNAB. I mean, we've used it for a few of our clients who really needed to get serious about budgeting. And it was a very, you know, big, overwhelming task that they had to overcome. But YNAB did a really good job.
So how does YNAB work? I've not used YNAB before. So I know YNAB, it's tools, but...
Yeah. So what they do is their whole philosophy is you need to give each dollar a purpose. So you literally will set a budget for each category. So let's say you're really into Starbucks and you go every morning, but you know that it's just unnecessary spending. So what they'll do is they'll say, all right, well, set a budget. And let's say you give $100 a month for Starbucks. And let's say you go over, let's say you're 2/3 of the way through the month and you want to go over.
Okay.
You now have to pull your budget from some other category. Maybe it's movies. Maybe it's going out to dinner. And so you have to pull that dollar from that budget and give it to your Starbucks budget.
Okay.
And so it's been really effective for our clients. It helped drive those better spending habits so that they could actually save larger amounts and help them reach their financial goals. So
yeah,
I personally have not used it thoroughly, but our clients who have used it, they swear by it.
Okay. Tiller's a popular one I've seen in terms of people that swear by Excel, right? There's a lot of people that love Excel. They don't want to move away from it.
We were looking at this.
But they might want a little bit of a little bit of a jump forward in tech. And Tiller is just Excel spreadsheets. You're basically using their templates and they're pre-populating some charts and graphs to show you trends. That way you don't need to make it yourself in Excel.
Yeah, so if you're an engineer or you're the analytical type, Tiller is probably a really good option.
Exactly a beautiful interface. It's not like what Mint can do.
But it looks really powerful.
But it's very powerful. Yeah. It's very customizable to what you need, and you can just take your Excel data and it's right there. So that's a big one. Yep. Fudgets, one we just recently learned about. Fudgets.
I love the name.
Pretty interesting.
Fudgets a great name.
Super simple, right? Yeah. It just looks like a simple app. It's just basically adding and subtracting. It's just filling in.
Yep.
It asks you food and you just put down food. It doesn't look like it's breaking
apart. Create your own categories.
A million different types of food.
It's very open platform.
Okay.
So
yeah,
you just have what you bring in for income and then what you have for expenses. You can categorize however you want. And it's just a very simple way and no frills way to track what you're actually spending each month.
Yeah. And so these first two, right, manual tracking and then budgeting apps, don't really give you much of a framework to go off of where your money should go. Right. It's really up to you. So a third option that we've seen is called the 50-30-20. Mm-hmm. And that's where you take 50% of your net income is going to go towards essentials, right?
Yes.
Housing, food, transportation, utilities. Yep. 30% will go to personal expenses. So that could be things like vacations. That could be dining out. Yep. That could be gym memberships, all the Netflix and Amazon stuff.
Yeah.
And then the final 20% will go towards savings. What do you think of this strategy?
I really like it. I really do. I like having these frameworks. And I think it's one of those strategies that's applicable to the vast majority of people out there.
Okay.
So, I mean, whenever we're all starting on our financial journey, we want to know I have no place to start. What framework should I be working off of? This is a great framework to begin with to know exactly, hey, is 20% really a good target number that I should be saving?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's a really good number.
It's a great target.
You know, but the problem with something like this is just a framework. It's not something that you need to have exactly 50% of all of your essentials or 30% of all of your personal spending, because there's a lot of overlap.
That's where I've seen that go wrong, right? What's essential and what's not essential? It really blurs today, right? Is this vacation essential or is this type of car essential? I don't know. Everybody's different on their values and priorities.
Like Amazon can be both personal and it could also be essential.
Amazon is essential. I'm going to tell you that right now. Amazon is essential.
Yeah.
Live my life based off of Amazon. Yeah. It's a good framework though. And it can be tougher, right? If you're lower income or you're early in your career, saving 20% can seem like this is going to be a big hill to climb. Absolutely. Yes. But it's still worthwhile having that target. And I think it's a really good framework too, thinking about 50% essentials, because this is what a lot of principles based off of, like you're trying to get a home, whether you can get a loan, it's going to be based off of what's your income and how much do these cost based off of your gross income. So it's good to start having this framework of, okay, I probably shouldn't have 80% of my income going towards things that are mandatory for living my life. Because if something happens to you financially, you're now stuck with zero flexibility.
And this is how you become house poor.
Yes, this is a tricky part where all of your money, even we've seen it with people with high incomes, especially here, right? San Diego and other locations, so much of your cash flow is going to your house.
Yeah.
You don't feel like you even have the ability to save for childcare, child expenses, go on a vacation because everything is gone.
Yeah.
You're like,
you're eating ramen noodles and peanut butter.
What happened? I feel like I'm doing good, but I've not made any progress financially.
Yeah.
So that's a big one.
Yeah.
All right. What about the last one here? Both of our favorites.
Yeah. This is the no budget. So this is all about automation. So this is something to where if you feel like that you're pretty disciplined in the spending department where you're not going overboard on a lot of things, the no budget is a great way to do it. So essentially what me and my wife do is we just automate our savings number. We know that we need to be saving. Is that our fire alarm?
We have a fire alarm going off right now.
All right. So
I'm pretty sure that's in our building.
Can we wrap this up?
We can finish this. Let's do it.
All right. So it's all about automation. So we set a target dollar amount that's going to be going into our brokerage and our savings accounts. And anything above and beyond that, we spend. So it's It's a great way. I think it's something that you use as well.
I use the same way. I don't want to stress about where money's going. Like, oh, this month I spent more on eating out versus groceries. Should I not have done that? I don't want to have stress about any of that. So we set a savings target. Mm-hmm. And once we hit that savings target, it doesn't matter where the rest of the funds go that month. They can go towards vacation. They can go to Amazon.
Yep.
They can go to house repairs. They can go to dining out. It doesn't matter because we've already set ourselves up with hitting our savings and investing target.
Yeah.
And then it's totally stress-free. So we're not worried about where the rest of the funds are going.
Yep. All right. We're getting the nod.
Fire alarm. We got to go.
Not sure if you can hear it through these microphones, but we hear it. So
thank you again.
We do appreciate your time. Let us know if you have any questions. See you next time.
Bye.